Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And each week we talk to someone of interest about it. And this week we are talking about a monumental moment in Star Wars history. And that is the conclusion of the Clone Wars animated series. And I could say who better to discuss it with, but who else could I discuss it with? Fresh off his premiere screening, we had to get right into starting the podcast straight away because he wanted to dump all the good material unrecorded before we got set up. It is my buddy, Clone Wars, Corey Van Dyke. How you doing?
Oh, Steel, listen carefully, okay? It's not every day that any movie or TV series gets me emotional, okay? It's a rarity, you know, because that's just how I am. But Steel, Clone Wars is over, and it just came back, and now it's gone again, and it was so emotional, and this is like a therapy session we're having right now because it's just too raw. Like I have no words, but I apparently have to have many today. So it was amazing, man. That
was so poignant. I have no words, yet I'm supposed to have many today.
Exactly.
Oh,
right.
My God. You should have been up on that mountain with the Knights of Ren singing.
You're great. It was just, dude, it was almost everything I wanted it to be. And that's what I love about it. It was perfect.
Your face is just beaming. I feel like I want to like dim my laptop screen because it's just, it is too much. Now, for those late to the action, Corey and I were sitting next to each other. What year was this?
2018. It was in July of 2018.
San Diego Comic-Con at the 10 years of the Clone Wars animation panel. We got very shocked with the announcement of this final series. And famously or infamously, I had to lie to Corey because I didn't think they were going to announce anything new.
I did
have to tell Corey that I had insider information that it's definitely no cartoon announcement because I wanted you to enjoy it for what it was, not what it wasn't.
Right.
But the true believer, do or do not, there is no try, Corey Van Dyke.
Well, it was funny.
Stay true.
Yes.
Got his wish.
Yes.
2 years later, here we are.
You know, it's funny because going back to Comic-Con, I remember that you told me that the night before the panel while we were recording a podcast, and I was crushed, but I was also like, in the morning, we're like walking to 7-Eleven, getting probably our 7-Eleven hamburgers. But as we're walking, I say to you, I don't believe you. I'm like, Steel, I think it's still going to happen. And I think we have this recorded. I think it's part of the actual Comic-Con show you put up. But I just remember being like, nah, it has to be something. It has to be something. And then obviously it was something. So, you know, Yeah, I mean, I'm petitioning, you know, for Clone Wars resaved. I'm ready for...
Did we not have a conversation about this two years ago?
We did. I told you I'd break at some point.
Now, what did you promise me?
I did promise Steele that at the beginning of this season, when we reviewed The Bad Batch, that I'd be content by the end of this and that I would peacefully just never bring up more episodes again.
I do have to say, Star Wars fans, as much as they love lightsabers, they love petitions.
Yeah, no kidding.
Online petitions. The petition, I'll tell you where you sign. You go to Disney Plus.
Yep.
You log in and you press play.
Exactly right.
And then you do that many more times. Yep. And if you're a total Corey about it, you'll encourage friends and family.
Oh, yeah.
You will go into department stores, and if they've got a Disney Plus demo going, you will press play. Exactly. On the Clone Wars movie, you'll try to rig it to some sort of repeat function.
I'll go to all the Verizon stores on their iPads. I can't do that now, dude, because of the pandemic. I can't go do it, or else I would. I'd go right now.
Well, they're going to get a surge.
True.
I feel like you got to think about this logically, Corey. I feel like because everyone's at home, the increase in people that are at home so are going to end up watching it,
mm-hmm.
would be bigger than the increase that you alone could incur by going to every Best Buy in the region and pressing play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this pandemic, I mean, really, like, just everyone's streaming things, so Clone Wars must be 10 times higher than it would have been otherwise.
And then there's a Corey bump as well.
And then, yeah, that's the most essential one, but, yeah.
So, we have seen it. We are about to just go haywire with spoilers.
Yeah.
And so be fair warned. You know, it is, you know, like Corey, like his review, it's almost like null and void. Things would have to gone pretty dire for Corey to thumbs down on this bad boy. But I will say, it is, like, those four episodes are some of the best Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, you know, I watched the Clone Wars. I don't fan out about it the way I do, like, the live action stuff. But, you know, I just watched it and, to be honest, didn't think too much about it. But this season, and I sort of, very interested now to go back and follow this Darth Maul deal. Because this is the thing. I have, just above your head, Corey, there is a shelf. Look up there.
Okay.
And it is my shelf of things I least like about Star Wars. So I collect all these things of moments that I'm just like, nah, like,
I love it.
Just to have fun with it. I collect these little moments.
I love it.
I do have a Star Wars Celebration Chicago exclusive Darth Maul with spider legs.
Yes.
Because, as I've said many times, I thought it was silly to bring back Maul. I like as many things to stay dead as possible,
mm-hmm.
in the Star Wars realm. But
yeah,
I have said that whilst I didn't like him coming back, I have liked what they've done with the character. And the same thing with Ahsoka, how she made it through Rebels when, you know, a lot of people were predicting that maybe she wouldn't. I was like, well, you know, at this point, I thought that would have been a really sort of fitting end for her with, you know, Anakin in that temple. But if they go on and do something amazing with her, then it was worth it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I do have to say, this Clone Wars finale movie thing definitely does make Darth Maul worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Very compelling, just the way he sort of knows what's going on. And
right.
I tweeted about this on the last episode, that, oh no, the one before was, mm-hmm. this is like my favorite sort of supplemental material.
Oh yeah.
In that it doesn't try to twist things or go, ha, this meant this, like, yeah. the, you know, like, even though there's other, like, scripting that contradict that, that, you know, it's Princess Leia, but, yeah. you know, some people like to go, oh, the other that Yoda speaks of right. is, you know, like Rey or Ahsoka or Kanan or Ezra yeah. or, do you know what I mean? And yeah. it's like, well, that's not the original intent. And I love that they just enhanced what we already knew. Like, I am so up for the fan edit that intertwines all of Revenge of the Sith with this, like, in chronological order. That'd be so sick to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Now, before we get into the whole deal with what went down and spoilers, Corey, I live text messaged this to you. I thought I was losing my mind. Corey reviewed the last episode. What was the last episode called, Corey?
Shattered.
Now he puts up these videos, and they are. I like it when Star Wars makes people happy. You guys happy? It's the best. So I would rarely watch anyone watch a TV show. Actually, right. I have never done it. There you go. But Corey's gasps and reactions to this and just how much it means to him is it makes me appreciate like the cartoon even more. But so in the second part of his Shattered review, he wraps up doing his little commentary and stuff, talks about how much he loves it, and then it cuts, and then he gets like a Clone Wars action figure, like a clone commander or whatever, Tamira Morrison.
Yeah.
This action figure that he's called Ross, and then interviews Ross about what about what he thought of the Clone Wars episode. And Ross, the action figure, loved it. But his face was so angry the whole time, so it was really confusing. Like, he had that you know, clone army, like, rah, I mean, I'm a clone, I'm here for battle. But yet he's just gushing, he's in tears about the poignant end.
Oh. So unintentional, it's so great how it works, though. Yeah, as soon as the episode finished, I had a Sideshow Collectibles Fives right next to me. And I was going to call my buddy Ross up to talk about the episode with me. And I'm like, let me put Fives right next to me as I talk about it. And then when you sent that message, dude, I went back and I'm like, oh, crap. Like, it really does look like that. It's yeah, so I do have an action figure named Ross that'll be talking in every one of my videos now.
Man, I thought you loved it. Action figure Ross, he was he was down. Hey guys, if you're enjoying the episode so far, the easiest way you can support the podcast is by simply spreading the word. Give us a retweet on Twitter or a share on Facebook. Tell a friend, get us a new listener, and you have done us one hell of a favor. And growing the audience keeps the podcast thriving, so you're serving yourself up more and more sweet, sweet content. The latest episode is normally pinned to the top of our Facebook and Twitter feeds, making for an easy share. Your support is so appreciated. And now, back to that show. Yeah. All right, so we're going to talk full plot, full Corey spewage. Let's start from what's the thing that when I watch your reaction video, what's the biggest face you're going to pull?
It happens a lot for this one. But there, I can think of two key moments.
Mm-hmm.
And well, one's really morbid. But it's when you see Clone Trooper Jesse's helmet on the pike. Because that kind of signified really the end of the Clone Wars in a way that is so fitting. Because Jesse is another clone that we followed since the beginning. and him and Rex were the last ones from the core group that we followed throughout the seasons. So it was like kind of saying that that group is gone now, it's done. And so I audibly gasped and just like totally cried about it, because there's blood stains on his helmet, and like, you know, you never see that in animation. You never see something that dark before. And then of course it goes without saying, Darth Vader. Like, what a fitting way to conclude the Clone Wars than having this arc start with Anakin giving Ahsoka her lightsabers, and this series finishing with Anakin taking back one saber. And I noticed this a couple times on my rewatches of it, but they've deliberately shown Anakin's eyes through the lenses.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, and that was really powerful. And then you got the bird. That bird is everywhere. That owl is just like, I mean, like, what's up with the owl? It is everywhere. Like, I'm surprised Vader didn't just kill it on in Rebels. You know, he's like seeing the damn bird again. I'd be like, what is your deal?
Ah, so he's, yeah, this is the thing that got me, because I'm not like super like in, like, I obviously know when the Clone Wars are.
Yeah.
But, like, it never occurred to me that Ahsoka and Darth Maul would have never, like, come face-to-face chronologically. Yeah.
Right.
Until the, like, the Siege of Mandalore. Hey, for the Siege of Mandalore, I didn't think there was many Mandalorians in this whole thing.
No, there wasn't. I mean, they were, you know, sprinkled throughout the first couple of episodes, but there was a heavy emphasis on Ahsoka and Maul and Rex the whole time. It was really their story.
Yeah, I felt like that was like this was had so much more like gravitas.
Yeah. Oh, that, for sure.
To cover this part of it.
For sure.
I normally don't go for the big showings of power. Like, like, you know, my favorite, I'm an Ewok guy.
Right. Yeah.
My favorite scene in The Phantom Menace is the Don't Look Back scene with Anakin and Shmi. But when Darth Maul ripped out that hyperdrive.
Yeah.
And then, like, it came out of hyperspace and it was falling. Oh, I was like.
Yeah.
Like, it was it was pretty, like, Fast and the Furious level Star Wars.
Oh, for sure.
And, I'm talking, like, Episode 8 or 9 of the franchise when when they're super loose. Oh, dude, I just have to throw in. I can't. It's like disrespectful to the scene and cinema in general. Have you seen the scene in one of the Fast and the Furious episodes? I haven't seen the movie, but I've just watched the clip like 27,000 times.
Okay.
Where The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is in hospital with a broken arm, and his whole arm is in plaster. And then I think it's Vin Diesel is the character that comes and sees him. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it's Vin Diesel. Anyway. And tells him about some mission they have to go on. Like, hey, man, we're going to go. Like, someone's in trouble. We have to go out and be fast and furious.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes. He gets up and flexes his bicep, and the plaster cast shatters off.
I have not seen that. Oh my god!
Tell me that scene doesn't sound better than this entire four episodes.
That's,
come on,
that's stunning. You got to link me to that after. You know, why aren't we doing the Fast and Furious rewatches?
Emily's like, doing that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Emily's got a podcast. It's the Fast and I think is it called the Fast and the Furious? But she's the Furious one, and then. Oh, no, it's called The Fan and the Furious.
Oh, I did hear about this. Yeah.
Which is an excellent title.
That's amazing. What an awesome idea.
So, yeah, her friend is a avid F&F fan.
Okay.
And he's trying to win her over. So we can't.
We can't. Yeah, we can't. It's damn, what a great idea.
It's diluted. The whole the scene is it's clogged up.
You know what Maul reminded me of in these two episodes was obviously Sam Witwer portray Starkiller in The Force Unleashed. And so Maul was on full Force Unleashed mode.
That was like, I think everyone, when they see that, they think, oh, Force Unleashed. Like that bit where he was bringing in and I guess, did you think Rise of Skywalker when Ahsoka had Darth Maul's ship?
I thankfully didn't think about Rise of Skywalker at all while watching this this episode. But no, I can see the parallels there for sure.
It's better for his character that he didn't, but I was always like, is he going to turn face? Like, is he going to actually help Ahsoka in any way?
Right.
But he just, like, she was smart enough to know what would help her the most. And that's just letting him out and causing trouble. And, it cost her a little bit, had to skydive onto a Y-wing. Another very Fast and the Furious moment.
Yeah, actually.
Because there's this other scene, right? I'm all about this. I don't know what's going on. I'm just taken with it. But, or is it Mission Impossible? I think it's Fast and the Furious. They drive cars with parachutes out of a plane.
Yeah, that's Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Whoa. Flaherty's been watching it, I tell ya.
Yeah.
Just after a hard day animating, drawing the little pictures, he puts his hat down and just puts on a bit of Vin Diesel.
Someone should do a side-by-side comparison to the two of them on YouTube. That's great.
Dave Filoni is living his life a quarter parsec at a time.
That line, man. That line. Oh, man. Dave took inspiration from the Fast and the Furious. Not any of the Star Wars films. Just like, we're going with that.
Oh, how about the, he always loves a generous helping of, if you want to call it fan service or callbacks and stuff. But when they finally get to that planet and it's snowing, so they've got like Hoth troopers or snow troopers. You shouldn't call them Hoth troopers because they went to other planets that are snowy, you guys. And the
the probe droid.
The Viper droids or whatever they're code name is, like, oh, that was super sick. The Vader bit, I don't know, I was sort of like, because I'm not as emotionally invested in it as you, I was sort of waiting for something else to drop, like that he was going to turn the saber blade red or not necessary. But
just the craziest thing.
But I was sort of like, oh, what's going to happen here? And I'm like, oh no, it's just a very poignant moment.
It's really, I think, meant to close out the series in that way.
And was the helmet they showed at the end the helmet that you got on the poster?
Yeah. So that's a little morbid now, actually looking at the poster, thinking about it.
So that's like the last shot of the series, is that poster?
Well, no, it's the helmet, like, it's not in the snow or anything, it's just the helmet. But technically, the helmet in the snow is what's on the poster.
Yeah. Because it's floating. Yeah. It's floating in space, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. So it's, in a way, it was definitely alluding to it. And, also the Comic-Con trailer that we saw, big, big foreshadowing for that moment when they show all the clone helmets as it begins. And the shot where you see the missile. Yeah, when the missile comes up and explodes, we see that in the first episode when that missile comes up on Commander Cody and Obi-Wan deflects it. So there was a bunch of foreshadowing throughout that trailer.
Interesting. Yeah. I thought the whole, her experiences with Order 66 and Rex and how, because it was always like that big puzzle piece of how did Rex get away and how did he, not get affected by it. I thought that was really done like so well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, one thing I'll say is if Rebels was not a thing, I genuinely think Rex would not have made it out of this episode. Like the whole time as they're fighting in the hangar and there's like 40 clones around them, I'm just like, okay, Rex should be dead. Like, he should not be around right now. So, they had a lot of like Rebels plot armor flying through them.
How brutal was it when they killed those droids?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Just without question.
Yeah, it was, it did take away from the tension knowing, like, because of the Star Wars timeline, that's why I like The Mandalorian. It's just linear.
Right. It's right. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's what's unique. One thing I want to see, hopefully one day, somebody who hasn't seen Star Wars before, right, and they go through the films and then maybe watch the Clone Wars and then don't see Rebels yet, because I can imagine that this arc must be so stressful for anyone who doesn't know Ahsoka and Rex's fate, or Bo-Katan or Maul or anyone.
Yeah, because like the debate, if it was chronological, that we should be having is like, is Ahsoka going to survive?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But as we know, as Star Wars has taught us, if you are a slightly lesser known, not in the movies, force wielder, you have a good chance to be found alive in later years when there's a book needing to be written or a video game that needs a character.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I've always been of the belief that that Ahsoka should have died in Rebels. But like you said, if this opens the door to more epic things that work, sure. But yeah, I mean...
Yeah, like if, just say, she's in The Mandalorian, and then that's the start of her, you know, people have rumored that she'll have a series, and the live-action series is sick. It's like, oh yeah, well, of course, you know, that was for the better. Whether, you know, Dave Filoni had it in his head that he wanted to do, you know, this could be, he could just be like... The Palpatine of Ahsoka, just machinating her through the timeline until the time is right, and then bang, live action.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean,
Order 67.
Oh god, damn! You just pulled that one out. I think the series could also set up even another animated show that takes place after Clone Wars, with Rex and Ahsoka having to continuously be on the run and figure out where do they go from there.
I don't want to quash your dreams. I think that's
filler. Oh, it's not happening. Yeah. It's not happening. No way.
No, but I just feel like, or not quash your dreams, but quash your idea or your whatever. You're nerding about. You're coring. I feel like that's like, I feel like their story is best if they don't meet again until
Rebels.
Yeah. Cuz and like the story that I think the Ahsoka story that people want is her after Rebels.
Yeah. It makes their interaction in Rebels so weird now when, like, Rex and Ahsoka get reunited for the first time. And the first thing he says to her, just the weirdest thing ever, is, I'm glad you're still alive. I remember, like, wow, what an interesting thing to start off with. But, you know, I think, I don't think they separate right away. After this, I think they probably, you know, I think there's room for them to separate. I would say they probably
went to In-N-Out. Yeah. Hungry after all that.
Yeah. I mean, they probably hung around for like a year or two. I mean, Rex still needs to hook up with the other clones at some point, you know, Wolf and Gregor. So.
Ah, yeah. Where are those dudes?
You know, it was always so weird when those were the guys that were paired up with each other. Because it never made sense that, like, Gregor, who just left the Clone Wars after season 5 being in one episode, just automatically was with him in Rebels. Like, it would have made much more, like, a lot more sense if Jesse was with Rex, or if one of those 501st guys was with him. But Wolf and Gregor, it's very random.
Now, how does the Order 66 in this for Ahsoka pair up with, in the book, Ahsoka? Are you across that?
Yeah, the Ahsoka book needs to be decanonized right now because it's completely different than...
Would you like now to grab it off your bookshelf and you can burn it here, live on the air?
Oh, I sold it, so I don't have it, but...
Hey, would you like here and now to burn the money that you sold it for right here on the air?
Yeah, I would.
Did you use that money to buy Ross?
I don't think that book was worth more than like 50 cents. So it's not a good book. And it was very convoluted. The whole, like, because in the book, Ahsoka buries her lightsabers, and they and Rex fakes his death.
Oh, enough with the lightsaber burying. Spare me. They're not magic beans, people.
Right.
Back in my day, you got an old shed, you put them in a box, and then when the neighbor came over, you remembered to pull it out and you gave him one. That's how he did it. That's how he loved it.
Or you just toss it on the Death Star, you're done with it.
Yeah.
No, 100%. So if there's one thing I would have added into this finale.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. It would have been Ahsoka trying to reach out to the Force to locate Anakin and just feeling coldness and emptiness and, you know, for her to think, oh, he's dead. Because in the Ahsoka book, it was cool because she does do that. And that's the one cool moment in that book. And I feel like that would have been a good emotional moment for Ahsoka to realize that all hope is lost in that moment. Anakin's gone. All her friends are gone.
I guess, I don't know if that sort of like bumps too much into, I always liked it when she first felt him again in Rebels.
Right.
And sort of realized, you know, what was going on or had it confirmed or does Ahsoka think he's turned bad or does she like know what happened to him or just think, what's the deal with that?
I don't know. That's why I was hoping that scene where she feels like he's gone, because it would have added closure to her in that moment, thinking, yeah, he's gone, so he didn't turn bad. But with her not knowing that, it makes me wonder if she ever had suspicions if he was like Palpatine's pupil or, you know.
Well, she definitely, like, that was like some of the most compelling stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like talking about how she'd, you know, he wouldn't like spying on Palpatine and
right,
you know, and she did feel that, you know, the Mace Windu out the window moment.
Right. Fantastic moment too, right? Getting Hayden in there and having Hayden and Matt have their voices. That's so fantastic.
Do you reckon they shared a mic like they do in Bon Jovi?
I think that was just pulled directly from Revenge of the Sith.
All right. Well, you know, you have your version and...
I mean, hey man, that would, God, how cool would that have been, huh? If they were sharing a mic together.
I love that. There's a photo of them like at Celebration or something.
Celebration, yeah. Yep. They met for the first time.
Pretty cool. Now, let's talk about your pod for a second, Corey. Mm. You just had Ashley Eckstein.
I did.
On the show. How'd that one go?
It was really cool. You know, when we started the podcast, she was one of the first guests we ever had on. And she was actually the first Star Wars celebrity who I pretty much met. And, you know, the first celebrity I met was Peter Mayhew, but that's another story for another time. But
thanks,
Ashley,
Maz.
Yeah, exactly right. Ashley was always super nice to me and, you know, everyone in the community. She just always was very genuine. And so, you know, I reached out and with the finale of the Clone Wars, felt like this was a good opportunity for us to catch up again and do something. And she graciously agreed. So we did about a 35-minute podcast just talking about the finale and talking about mental health and just being, it was awesome. So if anybody hasn't checked that out, it's really a great listen.
And what about the Kessel Run transmissions that have been pumping out and getting some views there, buddy?
I know.
All about the views.
All about the views. Yes.
It's raining views.
started this podcast in 2013. And so I started it with the Clone Wars, and it was really out of sadness that the Clone Wars finished and I needed an outlet. And so I used that podcast to do that. And through the years, you know, we were able to get on people like Dave Filoni and James Arnold Taylor and Ashley and just talk to the Clone Wars cast. And so it was very much a Clone Wars-y channel. And so I felt that like now is the time to sort of bookend it for a little bit. It doesn't mean forever, but it just means that with the finale of Clone Wars, this is kind of where I want to leave it until inevitably Mandalorian season 2 and if Ahsoka pops up, like, you know, I'll be talking about that. So
Corey.
Yes.
At the end of the last episode for now, will you go outside and bury your microphone?
Oh my God, dude, I would love to do that. I would love to do that. I would so do that. Oh my God, I'll put on like a cloak as I do it and just maybe take some oh, that's too morbid, never mind. Yeah, so. Absolutely.
So there was like three arcs that we got.
Yeah.
You know, it was your dream come true. Star Wars, yeah. Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
What's your satisfaction level after it's all wrapped up?
So I am very content if this is if they never make Clone Wars again, I'm content with it because the story's complete. It's done. And it's done in the way that I would have wanted it to end. And so what I will say about this season in particular is I thought the first arc was pretty strong to start off. It was just classic fun Clone Wars. It wasn't too serious. It wasn't too, but it was just sort of the old classic Clone Wars. The middle arc was very slow, I thought, and a lot of that could have been cut. I would have preferred that they put Darth Maul's story in as well, where, because I think that's the perfect buildup, right? You get...
I don't think that would have worked if it was like Ahsoka, those sisters, and Darth Maul trying to...
No, I wouldn't. I would have done... Yeah, no, that definitely wouldn't have worked. I would have cried, to be honest with you. I would have done 16 episodes, and I would have done...
Oh, God.
Yeah, I would have done... Listen. I would have done the Bad Batch, the Ahsoka episode, Son of Dathomir, and then this finale, because then you get the full context for Maul's story. And it's, if anything, if they ever go back and do more Clone Wars, I hope it's that arc that they make. And if that was only in Dark Disciple and the other 40 episodes. But I really like, honestly, the emotional weight of CG Mandalore is something I've always wanted to see explored more in Clone Wars. And I can without a doubt say that the CG Mandalore is my favorite Star Wars. Like, out of anything, that's number one for me. So... pretty happy with it, man. It took us on an emotional journey, and they name dropped my boy Fives, my favorite Star Wars character, Clone Trooper Fives. I mean, Rex had that amazing moment in Shattered when he says, "Fine, Fives." I never thought they'd bring him up again, and my heart just melted because he died like years ago, And that was such a great arc that he discovered Order 66, and was killed for it, and. Then Fives was even name dropped in the beginning of this season with Echo because they were very close, even though Echo didn't ask about Fives, but that's a whole other thing. but I'm just glad that they gave Fives his justice, and I felt like he was such an important part of this final arc. I'm very happy with it. I'm very happy, Steel.
I'm happy. Ross is happy.
Yes.
Hey guys, if going behind the scenes of Star Wars journalism is your cup of tea, you should check out our back episodes with the one and only Anthony Bresnikan, formerly of Entertainment Weekly, now with Vanity Fair. In our numerous episodes with Anthony, we go behind the scenes with his workings with Lucasfilm on how all those cover stories came to pass. And you can hear those episodes in full if you join the Steel Wars Patreon. For just $3 a month, you get access to our entire back catalogue, as well as all our bonus episodes, including live comedy festival shows, movie commentaries, and so much more. Over 600 podcasts await you, many of them timeless interviews and comedy commentaries. Your $3 a month goes to the continued production of the Steel Wars podcast and is so appreciated. Check it all out at patreon.com/Steel Wars. The link is in the show notes.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ah, the bit, it's just sort of playing as we talk, the bit where it, the Star Destroyer, or whatever they're called at that time, goes into the atmosphere, like the cover of that Lost Stars book.
Yeah.
That was...
very similar.
That was pretty sick. I also, one thing that I very much liked was them trying to negotiate the contract of like, well, she's not a Jedi.
Right. Right.
And if we do this wrong, then maybe we will be treasonous. I thought that was some good... It was like they went into Star Wars court and tried to... Yeah. Right. They had to go to court over Order 66.
It was the big negotiation tactic that did not blow over well at all. But and it's funny because it's actually a valid point. Like, she's not a Jedi. But obviously, you know, Sidious had the plan to kill Ahsoka. So here's what I think happened. Here's my theory, Steele. Is I think that Palpatine could sense through the Force that Maul was figuring things out. And I think because of that, that's why he decided that now was the time to end the war and initiate the plan. Because why now, right? It's like, why when Maul figures it all out is Sidious doing this? So it must have been he felt that was coming at some point. And I think that...
No, that's... It came to the end...
Yeah.
Like, Maul's just inconsequential to it. Because, wait, how did... So... Yeah, I don't think you can really equate it to Darth Maul, because I'm trying to, like, work out what...
What I mean is Maul was figuring out Palpatine's plan.
Yes.
And if Palpatine sensed that through the Force and knew that Maul could potentially bring everything down, because if you think about it, if Maul actually did go to the Jedi Council and said, this is what happened, this is who he is, they would know who he is right off the bat. And his whole plan, then he could also tell Anakin what was going on, Ahsoka could tell Anakin, and then it could all be a downfall from there for Palpatine.
No, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, but it's a stretch. If it's not in this episode, it's definitely not a thing. But I thought that's where they were going with it, with the way these episodes were unfolding.
Gotcha.
But yeah, you know, also, I think one awesome thing about this episode was just the cinematography throughout these four episodes is so phenomenal. It feels like a movie. It feels kind of removed from the other episodes in the past because it's that good. And Kevin Kiner's soundtrack, that guy, I mean, Anakin's Dark Deeds and God, it's Kevin nailed it.
Are you telling me there's a song called Anakin's Dark Deeds?
Yes, it's from the Revenge of the Sith soundtrack. Yep. Wow. Yep.
That is metal. Wild. You talk about the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
It is unbelievable as I'm watching this you know, Republic ship go to the hit the moon, and just how the graphics and how compelling it is. It is unbelievable. This is part of the same series with the shark people.
I forgot that you don't like the shark people. That's right, Riff Tamson and all those homies.
Like, it is such, I don't know, like that, like all the media after the original Star Wars could go either way. Do you know what I mean? Like, there could have been more holiday specials. They could have made it sort of, you know, Planet of the Apes-y, and it got, you know, watered down each episode. And it's, you know, and same with the Clone Wars, it sort of like changed tone and sort of like, I don't know, inverted commas, realism sort of thing. Like, this is like, this is like realistic Star Wars to me, my interpretation of it through the movies. And, you know, Sharkman is like a cartoon character, like a He-Man character that's like jumped over.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, this is just so much more, like, fulfilling and way more part of, like, what I think of the movie. Like, it's sort of more up with that.
Sure. Sure. It's the closest in tone to the films, for sure.
Yeah, like, I don't sort of think in between movies it's like, okay, well, between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, I better whack on a bit of Riff Tamsin so I can chronologically follow Anakin's arc. But this is like so grounded in what, you know, live-action Star Wars is.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, even some of the shots that are sort of far away, they look like Mandalorian-y.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you can tell that Dave used a lot of the skills from Mando to apply to this arc.
So,
well, and that's the interesting thing, right, is the previous episodes feel so different from this final arc. Like, it's night and day.
Yeah, well, the ones with the sisters
and
the Bad Batch were, you know, they were pretty Clone Wars. Like, do you know what I mean? And for someone that didn't, I don't have a photographic memory of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
These could have been in season 4 and I'd go, okay, whatever.
Right.
Like, they weren't, they were just more episodes.
Yes. Yeah. This was agreed.
And then this one was like a special event, like way more movie-esque. Right. And, you know, even, you know, they did cool little things like the opening with the Lucasfilm and the Clone Wars logo and stuff.
Well, and one thing that I figured out too was I think that what happened is Disney gave Lucasfilm a certain amount of money, obviously, to make this. And I think a lot of the budget went into Siege of Mandalore because obviously the last two arcs were already in the pipeline, whereas like an arc like Son of Dathomir hadn't even been animated yet. And would have been just as expensive as this one because it has that scale of epicness. Like Maul meets Count Dooku for the first time and General Grievous. And, you know, that's pretty mind-blowing to think that, you know, Dooku and Maul were in the same room.
Mm.
Or talking, and I think that's what makes Son of Dathomir so powerful. But that definitely would have been on the same scale as Siege of Mandalore.
Okay. Well, buddy, where do you go to from here?
Dude, I don't know. Like, now I have to figure out decades of what comes next. That's more stressful. You know, like, Clone Wars, I mean, like, for 2 years, I've had this notion of, it's okay, Clone Wars is back. Like, it's coming back. It's gone. So it's, I mean, I am actually excited to hopefully see where Star Wars goes from here. I hope that Disney and Lucasfilm have learned from the quality of this arc and that this is the level of quality they should be maintaining for animation. I'm not saying it always has to be on that crazy epic scale, but it definitely has to maintain a good story and a good plot. And that's what I think made this so good. Is like you said, there wasn't moments that changed canon or did anything like that. It just fit in so well with everything else. And I hope that's what they do going forward. I hope the next animated series isn't like Resistance. Like, Resistance isn't for me, and I know that's made for kids. What I'm saying is, if they want to invest money in an animated series, this is what works. And it's clear it's what works. Just seeing the fans' reactions to all of this is so different than what we've seen before, you know. So I hope so. I hope they continue the quality.
Hey, there was something I was actually meaning to ask you about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Witwer, who is has been on the show before, friend of the show, as they say.
Awesome.
He tweeted out after he saw a preview version of this.
Yes.
That this changes everything.
Right.
What is he talking about exactly?
I think he means that, you know, before looking at Maul, I never would have guessed that he knew that Anakin was going to fall to the dark side. Never would have guessed that he figured out the plan and had visions of it. And I think that's what he meant by it. It changes the way you look at Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the way that you look at the prequels. And I think that's what he meant. It really alters the prequels in a really cool way. And then, of course, also with Ahsoka pretty much being in Revenge of the Sith, right? I mean, we see that hologram recording of Mace and all the Jedi.
That was there. And,
she, And again, then she just walks in right after where it cuts in Revenge of the Sith. So it alters the way you view certain Star Wars films. I think that's what he meant.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't disputing it. I was just like, wanting to know what your interpretation of.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, those scenes.
And when you point that out, I wasn't like, I totally agree. I wasn't sure if there was sort of like, for the hardcore fans, there was something that maybe I was missing or, you know, there is some story about Darth Vader and a blue saber or something like that. Yeah.
I do hope that we do see this in theaters one day because it really feels like it should be on the big screen.
Yeah. I sort of think maybe the best chance you have of that is at the next Star Wars Celebration.
I agree.
That'd be a cool thing for him to do one night is, you know, put that on in the main room and
I'd love that. You know, I'd love that. I'd be there like waiting in line.
Would you? Do you reckon you go?
Well, not this year, but well, Celebration is definitely not going to happen this year. So, it's not.
The you've got a choice.
Mm.
Your phone rings. You look at the number.
Okay.
All that's on your screen is a brown hat. Dave Filoni.
Okay.
He's like, Corey, I know you've had my back since day one. I know you wanted the Clone Wars to come back even more than I did.
Yeah.
At times, even I found it annoying. Give it up.
Probably.
Move on, kid. Come on. But we've got some cash.
Oh, shit.
From Disney Plus. We can either do those other arcs that you bitterly complain about never getting, or we can follow Ahsoka the White and Sabine, and we see what her final, how her final chapter, her last adventures go.
I don't like you. Oh, man, dude.
You don't like me or Dave Filoni?
Everyone.
Okay.
I would have to say that if that Rebels sequel is on the same quality as Clone Wars is, if it's the same quality...
It's just... Corey... It's me, Dave.
Same quality. It matches.
It's same budget, same amount of episodes for each one. Same artists, same level of detail.
So Clone Wars style looks like Clone Wars. Okay.
It looks like the Siege of Mandalore.
Oh, then yes, it would be the Rebels. Following Ahsoka, 100%. Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Oh no! Oh no!
They spend like all their money on the last four episodes. And so the first eight are like just animated like those little Star Wars roller cartoons.
Oh my God. What?
Don't answer, buddy. Don't answer. That's alrighty, dude. I am. I had a ball watching these episodes. I thought they were exceptionally, exceptionally good. As I tweeted a couple of weeks ago, these are Clone Wars episodes that even Corey Van Dyke himself could not overhype. They were that Perfect. Good. They Perfect. Were that good. Yeah, but I'm very happy, very satisfied. More than I can say. And you know that. And stick around, buddy. Have a break. Come back on the show whenever you want.
I'll come every single time, dude. I will literally annoy you till you just don't want me anymore.
Don't bury that microphone too deep.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Where can the good people of the internet track you down, buddy?
Sure, you can follow me at Kessel Run Transmissions on YouTube. By the time this show comes up, I'm pretty sure I'll have my full reaction to this episode up. It's a very emotional one. We're also doing a roundtable on this as well, and so that should be up by the time this is out. You can follow me on Twitter at Corey underscore Wolfpack and at KR Transmissions. And yeah, and then here on Steel Show.
You're already here.
That's right.
Enjoy the rest of the day, buddy. Thanks for everyone for listening. If this is your May the 4th, enjoy that.
Yes, happy May the 4th.
Have a good Star Wars day if wherever this is in your listening time. And yeah. I do have to just, like, tip of the hat. I felt like they did us right this May the 4th. We've got the Clone Wars, and then we've got that Mandalorian documentary. So that is going to be super cool. Thanks so much, Corey. Thanks for listening. And may that force be with you.
That was great.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.